Today's shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Yotes, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yotes Amar Aleph at the top of Amid. We learned in yesterday's shir, at the end of the shir in the Mishnah, that the Ziknei Bezdin now asked the Ziknei Kahuna to take over the preparation of the Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur, and the Mishnah said that they took him to the base Aftinus. And the Gemara explains that why was he taken over there? L'lam de chafina, to teach him the chafina, the avoida of Daktiris on Yom Kippur. And Sfasems explains the reason he was taught this avoida, specifically in the Lishkas Aftinus, not anywhere else, not in the Lishkas Behedrin, which, as we've been learning from the beginning, Masechta, is where we spent most of the time during these 7 days, because in order to practice the chafina, he has to have k'tiris. But he can't use k'tiris that is already usable, because that would make you lose some of the k'tiris, which is designated to be used for the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. But in this room, which as we learned in Masechet Shkalim, Beis Aftinus were those who prepared the k'tiris, there was k'tiris available that he could use that wasn't yet quite ready to be used. And there, he could use this k'tiris to do the practice for what he's going to do with the k'tiris on Yom Kippur. Omer Papa. So Papa comments, Shtei lishkas hayu leil kohen gadol. The kohen gadol had two chambers. Achas lishkas behedrin. One was the lishkas behedrin that we've been speaking about all week long, where he was designated to be for the 7 days before Yom Kippur. V'achas lishkas beis aftinus. And the other one is the lishkas beis aftinus. Achas, one was Betzvoin, was in the north side of the Azara, V'achas, and one was on the south side of the Azara. Achas Betzofen, how do we know that one of the Lishkos was in the Tzofen, the Tanan? Sheish Lishkos Hoi Ba'Azara, there were 6 chambers in the Azara, Sholosh Betzofen v'Sholosh Bedorim, 3 in the north and 3 in the south. Lishkos HaMelech, Lishkas HaParva, Shebedorim, those that were on the south, so with the Lishkas HaMelech, Lishkas HaParva, and Lishkas HaMadichim. And the Gemara explains what did each one of these chambers serve. Lishkas HaMelech, the salt chamber, Shesham HaYonos HaMelech LaKarbon. That's where they kept the salt for putting on the Karbonos. Lishkas HaParva, Shesham HaYamalchim Aris Kotchim. That's where they actually put on the salt. So Tosfos asks in Masechet Menachos that there the Gemara teaches us that they did the Melicha in the Lishkas HaParva. And there it says that they did it in the Lishkas HaMelech. So where was it? So Tosfos suggests that the salt was stored in the Lishkas HaMelech. And then they would take the salt from the Lishkas HaMelech to the Lishkas HaParva, where they actually did the salting. Tosfos Yeshanim here has a different approach. That the Lishkas HaMelech that's mentioned over there, is the same as the Lishkas HaParva that's mentioned here. And the Lishkas HaMelech that's mentioned there, Masechet Menachos, was salt that was put away. When we learned the Masechet Shkalim, we learned that they allowed the Kohanim to use the salt for their own personal kabbonis. And that was the Lishkas HaMelech that's referred to in Masechet Menachos. Which opens up a question. How could they allow the Kohanim to use the salt that belonged to Hegdash to salt the kabbonis, the animals that they're going to eat? So some explain that it's talking about when the Kohanim donated the hides to the base to Hegdish. So now that the hides belong to Hegdish, you're allowed to salt them with Hegdish, the salt that belongs to Hegdish. But we learned in Masechet Shkalim that one of the Tanai Bezdin was that Chazal, that they made a Tanai Bezdin, that any salt that they need for kabbonis that they're going to eat, but we learned that it had to be kabbonis that they're going to eat in the Azara, not kabbonis that they're going to eat at home, they could use a salt that belonged to Hegdish. Valgaga, on the roof of the Beis HaParva, the Beis HaTfila, there was a mikvah, the Kohen Gadol, for the Kohen Gadol, that where he would go on Yom Kippurim. As we're going to learn, and I'm sechta, that the Kohen Gadol went to the mikvah many times on Yom Kippur. Every time he switched from one set of Big Day Kahuna to another set of Big Day Kahuna, he had to go to the mikvah. Besides the tefillah that he began at the beginning of the day. So because he had to go to the mikvah so often, and the Torah, when describing the Kohen Gadol's obligation to go to the mikvah that many times in Kippur, also says, V'rachatz es besaroi b'makam kadosh. And therefore, the mikvah that the Kohen Gadol had to use on Yom Kippur had to be b'makam kadosh, had to be in the Azara. Rashi says that the water that they had in this mikvah was meimayin, was spraying water, and it came down from a higher place to a lower place where the Kohen Gadol could go to the mikvah. Lishkus medichim, sham hayu medichim is kachim. That was the place where they would wash the insides of the karbonos, and lishkas umisham mesiba oiler, and there would be a staircase that went up from there lekag beis haparva to the roof of where they had the mikvah. Even though we learned earlier in the masechta that they used to wash the karbonos on tables that were in the azara, so did they wash it there or did they wash it here? So I saw that it depends. The actual animal, after it was slaughtered, they washed on those tables. But here we're talking about the insides of the animals. Tosfos Divrei Maskil Shesham explains, which were particularly dirty and needed a lot of washing. And that's what those part of the animals they washed over here in the Lishkas HaMadichim. We began by saying there was Sholosh Betzofen. There were three chambers in the north side. Lishkas Eitz, Lishkas HaGoyle, Lishkas HaGozes. Lishkas Eitz. What is the Lishkas Eitz? Omer Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov, Shechachti Lamayim Shem Sheshes. He says, I don't recall what was the purpose of that chamber. Abishol Omer, Lishkas Kohen Gadol Haisa, Achrei Shteihem. There was a room out behind the Lishkas HaGoyle and the Lishkas HaGozes. V'gag Shloshtem Shava, and there was a roof for all of those three rooms. The Ravid makes a very interesting point. He says that the Lishkas Kohen Gadol was made out of wood. And he says that's why it's called Lishkas Ho'etz. Tosfos Yontif disagrees. Tosfos says it can't be that it was made out of wood, because the Rambam paskins that you may not, in Helkos Beis HaBechira, Perek Aleph Halacha Tes, that you're not allowed to build anything in the Beis HaMikdash out of wood. And he explains the reason it was called the Lishkas Ha'etz is that in this is the place that the Kohen Gadol would be, as we just explained, and it's where you're allowed to use vessels that are made out of wood. For as we learned when we spoke about the Kohen who did the Avodah with the Paraduma, regarding him we learned that he's not allowed to do any Avodah with Kalim that are made out of wood, because those Kalim could get Tameh, and we didn't allow any Kalim that he could use Tameh. Here he was allowed to use, unlike that Kohen, he was allowed to use Kalim that were made out of wood. Lishkas HaGoyla. What is the Lishkas HaGoyla? Shesham HaYabar HaGoyla. This was a place where the people from Chutz Laaretz, from the Golas, dug a well, V'agalgal, and they had a wheel, how they could raise the water, Nosan Olav, that they could be able to pull the water out of the well. M'shem HaSpikim Mayim L'chol Azara. And that would be the well for which they would have water for everybody in the Azara. And the reason, according to Rashi, it's called Lishkas HaGoyla, because it was built, it was paid for by people from the Golas. And others explain, Goyla goes back to the wheel that we just said, the Gilgal that we just described, and it was made with a wheel so that the Kohen, that that's how they should be able to get the water. And has nothing to do with who, it had nothing to do with who paid for this well. And the reason I saw that Mefarshim prefer this pshat, because truthfully, many of the needs of the Beis HaMikdash were paid for the Jews from Golus. So why would they specify specifically this well that it was paid for that? Moreover, the Rishonim explain that even though, as we've learned many times, there was a mas hamayim, there was a drain in the base in the Azara, but that drain, the water in that drain, apparently wasn't such quality water, and it wasn't water that they could use for drinking. This was water that could be used for drinking. Lishkas Hagozes. What is the Lishkas Hagozes? Shama Yosener Shayisrael Yoshvis V'Donas Kahanim. That they would sit and determine the status of the Kahanim. If a Kohen came to be able to do the Avodah, of course they did not let him do the Avodah until it was determined that he had the proper Yichus. If a Kohen came to do the Avodah and he was disqualified, he would put on black garments, and like that he would leave the Lishkas Hagozes. And on the other hand, a Kohen Gadol whose yichus was determined to be fine, he would put on beautiful, nice white garments, and he could begin doing the avodah with the kahanim. So as the Mefarshim explained, because this was a very important part of the job that the Sanhedrin, who sat in the Azara, to do, that's why, and this obviously was connected to the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, that's why they did this in the Lishkas Hagozes, right next to the Beis HaMikdash, which is going to be done. Another pshat that I saw is that the Lishkas Hagozes was made out of beautiful stone. And even though the Tiferes Yisrael says that all of the Beis HaMikdash we know was made out of marble and stone, the place was where the Kahanim, where the Sanhedrin sat, they wanted to treat with special respect. And because they wanted to show this great respect that we have to the Sanhedrin, they made them a beautiful chamber where they would sit in session. The Mishnah said, we just learned that the Lishkas Eitz was the Lishka where the Kohen Gadol sat. So it turns out that the Kohen Gadol had two Lishkas. One, Achas Bedorim. One was in the south side of the base of the Azara, the Tanan. Shiva Sharim Hayib Azara. There were seven Sharim in the Azara. Shlosh B'Tzof and Shlosh B'Dorim. Three on the north side and three on the south side. Vech B'Mizrach. And one on the east side. Shiva Dorim. The ones on the south side were Shar Hadlaka, that from that they used to bring the wood that they would put on the Mizbeach, that when they needed to have wood on the Mizbeach. Sheni Lo Shar Carbon, that was the gate from which they brought the carbon tumit. Shlishi Loi, and the third gate was Shar HaMayim. We know on Sukkos, a very important part of the avoid on Sukkos was the Nisach HaMayim on the Mizbeach, and they used to bring the Mayim through that gate. They used to bring the Mayim through that gate to bring to do the avoid on the Mizbeach. Shema Mizrach, the gates on the Mizrach was the Sha'an Nikner. We've discussed earlier that Sha'an Nikner was the individual who brought two beautiful doors to the Beis HaMikdash from Egypt. And then as he was traveling from Egypt back to Eretz Yisrael, the boat that he was on was about to drown. They threw off one of the doors, and then they wanted to throw off the second door, which he said he would never allow them to do. And then when they arrived to the port of Akko, the other door that had been thrown off the boat came up from under the boat together with them. Another pshat that I saw regarding the Sha'an Nikner is when the Yevonim were fighting against the Chashmonaim. There was one individual from the Yevonim who was particularly disrespectful to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to Klal Yisrael, and his name was Nikner. And when the Chashmonaim ultimately prevailed, they killed him, and he was hung on the east side of the Azara in this spot. And because to commemorate that victory, this was called Shad Nichnar. On the two sides of the Shad Nichnar, there were two chambers. One on the right side, one on the left side. In one room was the place where Pinchas, who was in charge of all of the big day kahuna, that's where he was. Achas lishkas oisei chavitim. We know that every day the Kohen Gadol had to bring a carbon minchas chavitim made out of an asiris ha'efa of flour. Machtzisa bebeiker, machtzisa benabayim. Half was brought in the morning and half was brought in the evening. And this is where those minchas chavitim were prepared. Shebet tzofen, the sharim that are on the north side, shar nitzitz, we have the shar nitzitz, ubinyan achsagin haya, there was two walls jutting out from that shar, and that's where you would walk in that shar with towards the harabayis, v'liya benuya lo agabav, and there was an upper floor on top of it, v'sham. And that was the place that Kohanim Shomer Milmala, the Kohanim would stand on that upper floor, the Levim Milmata, and the Levim who stood Shmir in the Beis Hamikdash stood on the lower floor of the Shara Nitza. And there was an opening on this two walls. There was an opening on long one of the two walls that opened up to the Chil. To the Chil that we explained that there was an area in the Azara that was called the Chayil. Sheniloi, the chamber after the Shara Nitzitz is the Shara Karbon. The Shar after the Shara Nitzitz is the Shara HaKarbon. Shlishiloi is Shar Beis HaMekod, as we discussed in previous Shurim, that the Shar Beis HaMekod was the way that they got to the from here to the Beis HaMekod, where they had the big fire that we described, the different chambers that were in the Beis HaMekod. Shabbos HaParva, Shabbos HaMoikud. From there they went to the Betania, and the Brisa says, Chomesh Tvilas, as we mentioned earlier in our shir, the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh 5 times, Veser Kedushim, and 10 times during the course of Yom Kippur did he do Kedush Yadayim Reglayim, Hay Kohen Gadol Umekadosh Bay B'Yoyim, V'Kulam B'Kodesh, all of these Tvilas and Kedush Yadayim Reglayim were done in the Azara, Al-Gab Beis HaParva, on the mikveh that was on top of the Beis HaParva, Chutz Mizu, besides the first tefillah that was done every day, Shoyis B'chol, in a place that's not considered the actual Azara, Al-Gab Shara Mayim, in the mikveh that was on top of the Shara Mayim, U'B'tzad L'shkos HaHoysa, and that mikveh was right next to his chamber. So from this price we learned that one of the chambers that the Kohen Gadol was in was on the south side. Because we have established that the Shar HaMayim was on the south side. And we're learning over here that the Kohen Gadol's chamber was by that Shar. So we clearly are able to identify that one of the Kohen Gadol's chambers must have been on the south side. But as we also learned, the Kohen Gadol had 2 chambers. One was the on the north and one was on the side. The Lishkas Bethedrin, the Lishkas Beis Aftinas were the chambers where the Kohen Gadol spent time in this week leading up to Yom Kippur. V'loyedana, and points out the Gemara, we're not quite certain, the Lishkas Bethedrin Betzofen, the Lishkas Beis Aftinas Bedorim, were the Lishkas Bethedrin on the north side and the Lishkas Beis Aftinas on the south side, or was it vice versa? Lishkas Beis Aftinas Betzofen, the Lishkas Bethedrin Bedorim. We're not quite sure what was where. Says the Gemara, Umestabre makes more sense to say that the Lishkas Bethedrin Betroy Mahavoy, that the Lishkas Bethedrin was on the south side. Says the Gemara, why do I say so? My Tama, what causes us to say? Because it will say that the Lishkas Bethedrin was on the south side, will say, Magnum Koi, the Kohen Gadol would get up in the morning, or Mesachus Raglov, and use the bathroom. And every time he used the bath, as is normal when a person gets up, and after the Kohen Gadol uses the bathroom, he has to go to the mikveh. And he would go to the mikveh, the tovel, which is right in the mikveh, which is on top of the sharamayim, which the way we're explaining now is right next to his chamber. And therefore, as the Rishonim explained, we don't want to make him have to go to the mikveh. We already established that he went to the mikveh a minimum of 5 times on Yom Kippur. We don't want to make him have to go to the mikveh more. So therefore, he goes to the bathroom. He gets up in the morning, goes to the bathroom as is customary when one gets up in the morning, and goes to the mikveh, vazel, and then he would walk to the tzofen, to the north side, the gomar, chfina, and he would learn the melacha of the chfina, which we said was such a critical part of the avodah Yom Kippur, which he had to study. Then he would come to the Beis HaMikdash. He would come to the Beis HaMikdash to do the avodah. V'avod avodah kol yoma. He would do avodah all day. V'lahadi panya, in the evening, madolayu, they would sprinkle on him from the Eifa Parah Aduma. This is not on Yom Kippur. This is before Yom Kippur. V'hada ozel l'doroim. Then he would go to the Lishkas Parhedrin, the Tavol, and he would go again to the mikveh, which was near his chamber, because after he had the Hazah, the halach is, as we learned earlier on Daf Yudal Ramad Aleph, Rabbi Kiva taught us that Tar Shehizolov, if a person whose Tar had the Mechata sprinkle on him, the halach is that he's Tamei. And now this Kohen Gadol, as we learned earlier in Amasechta, had Hazah every day. But we can't be certain if he really required it. He only required the Hazah if he was truly Tamei. So if he wasn't Tomei, according to Rabbi Kiva, then he would require to have Hazah. So the way we accomplish this is by having him go to the mikveh after he did the Hazah. Because says the Gemara. So that's why it makes sense to say that the Lishkas, that's why says the Gemara, it makes sense to say that the Lishkas Behedrin, as we just finished explaining, was on the south side. Because says the Gemara, the Amrit, if you're going to suggest the Lishkas Behedrin B'tzofen, that the Lishkas Behedrin was on the north side, what that would mean was, Magnum Koy, as we said, he would get up in the morning, on the north side, if we're saying this, Mesach Raglav used the bathroom, Vazel, and if we're saying that the Lishkas Behedrin was on the north side, but we established that the mikveh, which was by the Sharamayim, was on the south side. So he would walk to the Dorim, Tavel go to the mikveh, gomer chfina, and learn how to do the chfina in the Beis Aftinus, which was also on the south side. Then come to the Beis HaMikdash, over avoid the kula yoyim, to do the avoid all day long. Ulahad the panya in the evening, madolayu, they would spritz on him the mechatas, hada ozol, and then they would then he would have to go to the dorim, to the south side, to go to the mikveh, by mahedem azol, and then he would have to go to the north side, we're learning now, is the Lishkas Behedrin or Menach. And the Gemara's point is that if the Lishkas Behedrin was on the north side, and at the end of the day, he was retiling him to go from the Beis HaMikdash to the south side, and then after walking from the Beis HaMikdash to the south side, then he has to walk to the north side, says the Gemara, Mi matrichina le kula hai. It would be unfair to make the Kohen Gadol have to walk so much back and forth. He had a hard day learning and practicing for the Avodah Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, that isn't a raya. That isn't a compelling argument. Alam aloi. On the contrary, matrichina leitfei, we want him to work hard. Ditz daikihu, because as we've been learning so often in Amasechta, we have to be concerned that the Kohen Gadol might be at staiki. And we don't want, of course, the Kohen Gadol to be at staiki. So if it's going to be difficult for him, he's just going to walk away, lifrish. And that's exactly what we want. Inami, shleitazuch datalov. The Kohen Gadol is a very important, great position. We're concerned that the Kohen Gadol may become arrogant. But if he sees it may be a great position, but it's not an easy job to do, that'll prevent arrogance. Diloy temahacha, because as it is, the Gemara says, if we wanted to think about practicality, and we wanted to make it easy for the Kohen Gadol, navdinu la tavai bahadi adadi, we should have put the two chambers next to each other, and the mikveh over there, then he wouldn't have to walk at all. Inami tezgalei b'chada, it should be one chamber to do everything. Why do we see that he has to do some walking? Why don't they make it easy? Because we don't want it to be so easy. And therefore, we make it, we have no compelling raya, and it could be that the Lishkas Bedin was on the north. So I saw a beautiful vart from Rav Meir Shapiro Zatzal in explaining this Gemara. He's speaking here about the Gemara here is speaking about the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is the leader of Klal Yisrael. And we know that Dorim represents Chochma, and Sofin represents Oysher, wealth. As the Gemara says, Haroitzel Hachkim, if somebody wants Chochma, Yadrim, he should go towards the south. The south is where the Menorah was. Haroitzel Hashir, Yatzpin. He should think about the north. Shei Shulchan B'Tzofin. The Shulchan was B'Tzofin. So the Gemara is telling the Kohen Gadol, you as the leader of Klal Yisrael, you have to be thinking about all of the needs of Klal Yisrael. You have to be thinking about the Tzofin, about the physical situation of Klal Yisrael. And you have to be thinking about the Dorim. You have to be thinking about the Ruchnis, the Chochman needs of Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Kohen Gadol, as he was preparing for the Avodah on Yom Kippur, said Rav Meir Shapiro, was taken, as our Gemara said, it would have been much more practical to have everything in one place, all the chambers in one place, and the mikvah in one place. But we specifically did not have it that way. To teach the Kohen Gadol, it's your job as the leader of Klal Yisrael to think about all of the needs that Klal Yisrael have, the Gashmias and the Ruchnias. And we learned in the Mishnah that the Ziknei Kohuna said to the Kohen Gadol, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Anu Shlucha Bezden, we are the Shlucha Bezden, Vata Shluchenu V'Shliach Bezden. Mashbin Anu Alecha, B'mi Sheshik and Shmoy B'Bayis Azeh, that we make you swear, Shlash Tishna Dovim Kol Mashaman Alecha, that you should follow all the instructions that you were taught. There's a machloikis throughout Shas. How do we look at the Kohanim? Are they Shlucha Didon? Are they our shlichim or shluchad rachmana or the shlichim of the Kaddish Baruch Hu? Says the Gemara, Lamed Havet Yufta, our Mishnah should be a question on the opinion of Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. Domer of Huna Bered Yeshua, Hani Kahani shluchi rachmana ninu. They're considered the shluchim of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, the Armit, because if you're going to suggest shluchad didonanu, that the Kahanim are considered our shlichim, Mika Midi, how can we say such a thing? We know that the only person who could do the Avodah on Yom Kippur is the Kohen Gadol. A Yisrael is obviously not qualified to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. The definition of a Shliach is something that the person, I ask something, somebody to do something on my behalf, I only can make him a Shliach if I could do it myself. But if here we can't do the shlichus, we can't do the avodah Yom Kippur, the kahanim who are doing that avodah are obviously not our shlichim. By definition, they can't be a shlich of a person who can't do it himself. So when we say that the kahanim are shlichim, it must be a shluchei derachmanu. But on the other hand, our Mishnah says that shlucheinu, you are our shlich. So how do we reconcile our Mishnah with that concept? Says the Gemara Hoch Kamerlei, this is what was meant to say to them. Mashbin anu alecha al datenu al das bezdim. We're telling you to follow our instructions. Not that we're saying that you're our shliach, but we're telling you that that we the bezdim are giving you instructions on how to do the avodah, and you have to follow our instructions. So the Gvur Sari asks, so why does it have to be both, the Shvua has to be Adas, the Ziknei Kohuna, and also on that Bezdin? So he says that in the Gemara Masech, the Shvua teaches us that Moshe Rabbeinu, also when he made Klal Yisrael make a Shvua, he said, Aldatoi v'Adas Hamokim. So the question again is, why do you have to say Aldatoi v'Adas Hamokim? So he explains that we know when we speak about Nedarim and the ability to annul nedarim that are nedarim that are made al das rabim. And a neder that's made al das rabim is much more difficult to be made for, to annul. So again, the more people that are involved in making the neder, says the Gevurah Sari, it becomes a neder al das rabim. And because it becomes a neder al das rabim, that's why they wanted to include more people in making the neder. There's a beautiful vort from the Tferes Shloima. He explains, Kahanim Shluchei D'Rachmana, when the Kahanim do the Avodah in the proper fashion that they're supposed to do the Avodah, Shluchei D'Rachmana, they are the ones that bring that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have Rachmanus and should have Rachmanus on Klal Yisrael. So we learned in the Mishnah, Hu Parish Shabaycha V'Hem Parish Shabaychem. They both, he and the people who gave them these instructions, would begin to cry. Hu Parish Shabaycha, the reason he cried, Shechashdua Tzdoiki, because they were accusing him of being a Tzdoikim. V'Hem Parish Shabaychem, and they cried, Darashum Alevi, Chalachosh B'Ksherim, Loche B'Gufay. Because we know, as the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, that Tzadik Zayin Amar Aleph teaches us, when Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Hem Lo Yaminului, that Kadosh Baruch he accused Klal Yisrael of not believing what he's going to say. The pasuk says v'yava yada b'chekoi v'hine yada mitzras kusholik. So we see that somebody gets punished physically for accusing somebody improperly. The kolkach lama. Why was this entire procedure necessary? Says the Gemara shlo yisakim b'chutz v'yachnes. We mentioned earlier that there was a fundamental machlokes between us and the tzedakim, how the Torah should be prepared, the Torah that start on Yom Kippur. We held that all of the ingredients to make the Torah were brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is where they prepared and made the Torah. Whereas they held that the fire and everything should be done already outside. So because we wanted to make sure that he wasn't a tzedaki, that's why we want to make sure that they shouldn't shlo yisakim v'chutz v'yachnes, bring the k'taris in that way, k'derech shetztoikim oisim. Says the Gemara, ma'isa b'tztoiki echad, there was an episode with a certain tztoiki, shehiskim v'chutz, that he prepared the k'taris outside of the k'taris HaKadoshim v'hichnes, and he walked in to the k'taris HaKadoshim with prepared k'taris. As he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he was particularly happy. Pagah by Aviv, and he met his father, Amalai, and his father said to him, Bani, my son, indeed we are tzdoikim. However, it's not so simple that you should take this approach and do like we felt. Amalai. So his son responded to him, my entire life, I wanted to know, I felt the pasuk says, kibbe onon aroal kapyrus, and that was the pasuk based on which the tzdoikim felt that the kapyrus should be prepared before they entered the kodesh hakadoshim. For Marty, and in my entire life, I used to say, mosi yovel yodavei kamenu, when will I have the ability to fulfill this mitzvah? Achsha, in the way I think it should be done. So he said, Achsha boli yadai, now that I had this opportunity like kamena, I shouldn't do it as I think it should be done. Amru, so says the Gemara, lohay yomim me'atim, it didn't take long, at shemes, until the stoiki died, v'hutal b'ashba, laying in the garbage, v'yutalayim yoyitz mechaitmai, and worms were coming out of his nose. V'yesh amrim, and some say, b'yitziyosai, as soon as he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it didn't take any long time, nigav, he was immediately killed. The Tanya of Chia, kemin koil nishma b'azara, as he exited the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they heard the sound, shabar malbuk, so malach came, v'choftei aponav, and hit him, v'nichnas achva kainim, and the other kainim came, so when they heard that sound, they right away were suspicious. Something was going on, and they came in and they found him laying there. And they found like the form of the foot of a calf between his shoulders, as the pasuk says that it must have been a malach that killed him because the malach's feet looked that way. Egel. It must have been a Malach that killed him. So the Gemara, the Yerushalmi asks that the Pasuk says, V'chol Adam lo yiyeh ba'ayil mayid, b'voy l'chapa b'kodesh atzaysay. The Gemara says, V'chol Adam. What do we learn from the word V'chol Adam? Even Malachim. So how could there would be? How could there have been a Malach when he was doing the avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the Tosfos Shanim answers that if when is there a halacha that no one is allowed to be there, that's only when the malacha is being done properly. Here the malacha wasn't being done properly, and therefore the isser of anyone else being there didn't apply. Another teretz that's suggested is that nobody was there when the avodah was being done. He was killed only after he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then somebody is allowed to be there. I saw another pshat that the Meiri suggests. Why did it look like an eagle? Because to say that this Kohen Gadol, who didn't follow the instructions that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to follow in preparing the Ketores, is doing the same type of Aveira as the Aveira of the eagle. And therefore, he was punished with looked like he was hit by an eagle. Why, explains the Kedus Yitzchak, is the Torah so specific that he should do the avoid of the Torah only inside in the Kodesh Kedoshim? Why is what the Tzadikim said so terrible? So the Kedus Yitzchak says that even the Kohen Gadol, who, as we are discussing, enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's the most holy place in the world. And we don't want him to stand there and stare. So if he's going to be busy doing the Avodah, he won't be able to look at the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara said, V'yitaloyim yoytzim mechaitmai. Why did it come out mechaitmai? So Rashi explains that the nose is the first of the parts of a person that goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therefore he deserved that his nose, who had Hanor from this Tyrus first, should be punished. But the Tosfos Shanim asked, that isn't true. The hands went in first, the hands carrying the Tyrus. So Tzitzik Yitzchak explains was that the hands may have been the first that came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but they didn't enter completely into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The first aver of the body that went completely into the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the nose. The Tzas Emes has another explanation. He explains that what was the first of the averim that had a gnaw from the Ketores? As soon as they burned the Ketores, the wonderful aroma comes up. And here the aroma of the Ketores came up before it was supposed to come, because it already came up in the Kodesh when it should have been only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The nose that smelled from that aroma before it should have smelled from that aroma was deserving to be punished first for that terrible aveira. Says the Gemara, Amar Zechai ben Kvutal. The Zechai ben Kvutal told us in the Mishnah, as we learned, they wanted to keep the Kohen Gadol up all night. So he says, many times I read from him from the Sefer Daniel. Masnilei. So there's a question. The Gemara discusses the Zechai ben Kvutal. Says the Gemara, Masnilei Rav Chana bar Rava Lachi bar Rav Kamei. The Rav, Omer Rav Zechai ben Kvutal, he spelled it with a fey, not with a vase. And as Rav was hearing this, he showed him with his hand that that's not the proper pronunciation. The proper pronunciation is kvut. The proper spelling is kvuto with a vase. Ask the Gemara, the namele memer, why did Rav have to show him? Why didn't Rav expressly tell him that you're misspelling his name? It should be with a vase, not with a pay. Answers the Gemara, because Krishma Avakari. He was Rav was reading Krishma at that time, and therefore he wasn't able to speak. He only could make a remiss. Says the Gemara, is that what he did? V'chi gavna mishari? Is it permitted while somebody is saying Krishna to even show something with his hands. When somebody is reading Krishna, he shouldn't make any signs with his mouth, with his lips, with his hands. He does all these very different things. All of a cuss of Omer. The pasuk says regarding such a person, that's not the way you're supposed to say Krishma. Says the Gemara Lakasha. When is the halacha that we have to be so strict where we're leaning when we're saying Krishma? That's Perek Rishon. Machlokes Rishonim, what does Perek Rishon mean? Doesn't mean when we're saying the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, but does it also include Vahafta? We Paskin includes Vahafta. Haba Perek Sheni, Hayim Shemaya, we could be more lenient. But even when we're lenient in Parsha Shnia, doesn't mean that we could be totally lenient during saying the Parsha Shnia of Krishma. We just don't have to be as strict by the Parsha Shnia as we are by the Parsha Rishona. But of course, we have to read the Parsha Shnia with much respect. So since we mentioned the din of Krishma, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, the Pasuk says in Krishma, for the Barat the Bom, we learn from here, Bom, we should speak about the Torah, for Leibet Tefillah. By Torah, we're supposed to speak out loud and articulate our words as we're learning. When it comes to Tefillah, Tefillah should be davened quietly. For the Barat the Bom, furthermore, teaches us the Gemara, Bom Yesh L'cha Rishus L'daber, a person should spend his time speaking about Divrei Torah, B'loi Dvar Macherim. Not Dvar Macherim. And as the Mefarshim explained, Bom stands for the first two letters of the Torah Shebeksav and Torah Shebeklaya. Beis is how Torah Shebeksav begins, Bereshus, and Mem stands for Me'emesai Karen Shema, that a person Torah Shebapeh. And here the Gemara is teaching us that when we learn Torah, we have to learn Torah by articulating the words. And in fact, there's a machlokes apaiskim. If somebody learned Torah just quietly, it was yoitz the mitzvah of limud Torah. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that you're not yoitz the mitzvah of Talmud Torah when learning quietly. Of course, he says, if you need to concentrate, then you're quiet because you're thinking, then you're allowed to be quiet. But the right way to learn Torah is by saying the words out loud. Others, and the question comes up, if somebody's maharer b'divrei Torah, just thinking about divrei Torah in the morning, does he have to say Birchas Krishma before he's maharer b'divrei Torah? According to Shulchan Aruch Rav and most Paiskim, you don't have to say Birchas Torah because hearer is not considered limud Torah. The Gra disagrees, and the Gra held that you do have to say Birchas Krishma even for hearer Torah. And the Gemara taught us, Bam yesh l'cha rishus l'dab v'loy b'dvar macherim, to teach us that when somebody is learning Torah, he should not interrupt his learning. He should be learning without any interruption. V'dibar t'bom teaches us the Gemara, Aseyos and Kva, make the Torah what is most important in your life. What you speak about, explains the Rabbeinu Yoina, you should speak about Divrei Torah. And I saw other Rishonim specifically say that there's a special issue that when somebody's learning Torah, he should not divert his mind and his thoughts, and his, certainly his speaking, to anything else but Divrei Torah. Valtas Marai. In other words, when you learn Torah, you're supposed to show that it's a seriousness. And the way that you show that seriousness is by not doing anything else while you're learning the Torah. Amar Rava, Hasoich Suchas Chilin. If somebody speaks mundane manners, we should be concentrating on learning Torah. If somebody does so, he's over alav. A person shouldn't speak things that are foolishness. A person should speak about only what's important to speak about, what to learn about. And I saw a beautiful moshel from the Dubna Magid. He says there was once a beautiful palace. Somebody had this beautiful mansion, this beautiful palace, and he hired an architect to make for him a model of that palace, a miniature. And the model, the architect did so. And when the king, when this person who owned the palace was looking at it, he noticed that a part of the palace was missing. And he said, so he said to the architect, to the person who made this model, "You're missing this part." And the person said, "Yes, I am, but it, in the model, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. It wouldn't be so noticeable. It doesn't make a difference if it's a missing." He said, "You're right. The model is, as we just said, just a miniature of what the palace is. But what it represents is the palace. So this small part that wouldn't have been so significant in the model would be extremely significant in the, is extremely significant in the palace. So too, when we are learning, we think that we're learning, it doesn't accomplish that much. But every word of Torah accomplishes so much in the world. And since every bit of Torah that we learn in this world has so much, accomplishes so much, stopping to learn Torah or not giving it the proper respect that we have could only have very significant repercussions. And that's what I saw the Mefarshim says, explain, V'dibar tabam, if you will become accustomed to just learn Divrei Torah, then lo dvaram b'cherim, then you won't have to worry about other things. Because the people who learn Torah, bring such an important element to this world. They bring so much Kedusha and Tahara to the world. Every small act that they do has such very significant repercussions. Says the Gemara, as we learned, the Kohen Gadol, we did not want him to sleep the entire night of Yom Kippur. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Bikish l'snanim, he was falling asleep. The Pirchei Kahuna, who were there, Makal Fanabatsa Treda, with snap their fingers, Vaimaloi, and they would say to him, Ishin Kohen Gadol, Kohen Gadol, Amoid, get up on your feet, Vafeg, and there, and you'll, and like that, because you'll stand on the cold marble floor, it'll prevent you from falling asleep. Achas al Ritzpa, and they would tell him, like, dance and jump with one foot on the floor, one foot not on the floor, everything to keep him up. Masikin Asoi, and that's how they kept the Kohen Gadol busy, add Shmana Shchita until the time of the Shchita. So I saw that Ramey Shapiro said that this is a call to the leadership of Klal Yisrael. The call is to the Kohen Gadol, who, as we described earlier, is the leader of Klal Yisrael. And every night of Yom Kippur, we were told the Kohen Gadol, you carry the responsibility of Klal Yisrael. And you carry the responsibility of Klal Yisrael. We need you to be up. We need you to be constantly thinking about us, dabbing for us, doing for us. We need you to take care of us. And in fact, there was a letter written by Ramey Shapiro Zatzal as he was to the Chafetz Chaim, as the Chafetz Chaim was older and he didn't have the same strength that he had in his younger years, and he wasn't always able to do what he was able to do in the younger years. Ramey Shapiro wrote a letter to Chafetz Chaim. We know the Chafetz Chaim was a Kohen. And Ramey Shapiro writes to the Chafetz Chaim, "You are our Kohen Gadol. And because you're our Kohen Gadol, we beg of you, we beseech you, please don't fall asleep. Please remain strong to worry about Klal Yisrael." So Mishnah says that they snap their fingers with the tzarda. What is this? Amar Yehuda, tzras the da, the two fingers the next to each other. Mahi, what does that mean? They took the index finger and they snapped it with their goydel with the thumb. Machvalei, Rav Huna, and Rav Huna once showed a demonstration how they snapped their fingers. Vaza koil lebekulei Rav, and the sound was heard in the entire home of Rav because of that snapping of the finger. There's a discussion if they're allowed to do this on Yontif. Some say since it wasn't done for the purpose of making music, that's not usur to be done on Shabbos Yontif Yom Kippur. The others say that it was usur, and the only reason it was done in the Beis HaMikdash is because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. But other Vaymalai, and we learned further, they said, Aisha Kain Gadol, the young Kahana would say to the Kain Gadol, Isha Kain Gadol, Hafik Achas al Ritzpa, put one of your feet on the floor to prevent you from falling asleep. Amar Rav Yitzchak al Chadas, they showed him something new. Mahi, what did they want to show him? Amrlai, they asked the Kohen Gadol, Achvi Kida, show us how you bow down with a Kida. A Kida is sort of like a push-up, and that, of course, requires much energy on the part of the Kohen, and that's why if he'll do that, that'll wake him up and keep him up the whole night, as we're learning here, that it was critical to keep the Kohen Gadol up the entire night, keep the Kohen Gadol up the entire night of Yom Kippur, that he shouldn't, chas v'shalom, come to Tumah.